Hey everyone, how's it going? It's Eric Gouge.
Jamie Gouget.
And we are Small Town Talk. Welcome.
Welcome.
So, Jamie, what's your favorite type of cheese?
It's a hard one. Probably either mozzarella or burrata.
Ooh, burrata, always good.
What's your favorite cheese?
I think that it would probably be mozzarella. I mean,
it's a solid choice.
I'm always down for that, for a little mozzarella. But Parmesan is a close second, I'd say.
Yeah, Parm is good.
I could literally put Parmesan on anything. Anything. I'll put Parmesan on it.
Okay.
Everything.
We got it.
Except for maybe ice cream. That'd be awkward. Probably kind of taste funky.
Or you might be onto something.
Parmesan crisp on top of your ice cream.
Ooh.
Salty and savory. And sweet. But... Well, this week, the reason we're talking about cheese is because we sat down with Strom Peterson, the owner of Cheesemonger's Table. So,
Excited. One of our favorite spots in Edmonds. And
you can always get a good sandwich there.
Awesome sandwiches.
Yeah.
So tune in. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So enjoy the interview. See you later. Okay, so we're here with Strom Peterson, and today we're talking about your business, the Cheesemonger's Table. What got you into
cheese?
Yeah, I guess.
The short, honest answer is gluttony. I love cheese. I still eat cheese pretty much every day. I've had to cut back a little bit on cheese consumption, but I still contend that it's a very healthy food, and I think my consumption of blue cheese keeps colds and flus at bay as well. A constant source of penicillin in my system. It's been kind of a long journey from when we first moved to Edmonds and I looked at opening a business. That was 15 years ago when we first opened Olive's Cafe and Wine Bar.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And so this is kind of the third iteration of that now, and I'm crazy enough to still be in the restaurant business, but it's still a blast, with great staff and just being part of the community is just kind of Edmonds is a pretty fantastic place, so.
Yeah. And so you've been just, what made you, how'd you get the idea about, Olive's was kind of...
Yeah, it was interesting. So we said we moved here in 2001, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I'd been a small business owner previously when I lived in New Mexico. I had a small construction company, but kind of knew I didn't want to go down that road again, just because it's hard on the back and the knees. And so I got a job working downtown, actually at Housewares.
And I love that
and
place.
It's previous location.
Yeah.
Just to kind of scope out what was going around downtown. And I remember one day I went out to lunch and I couldn't find a decent sandwich. It's like, I just want like a corned beef sandwich. Bing, light went off and I kind of said, there might be an opportunity here. And then ended up going into business with an old high school friend of mine who was down in the Bay Area, but was kind of burned out on the restaurant scene down there. He's a super talented chef, now lives in Kauai, so he's doing okay.
Yeah. Enjoying life.
Enjoying life, he is. Yeah, today's actually his birthday, so a little text back and forth. So we kind of discovered that here was this option opportunity to open up kind of a high-end deli and with some retail element. We thought that kind of with the travel vibe we have in Edmonds, with Rick Steves and Savvy Traveler and all of that, that we could really kind of exploit that side of the market. And that's kind of where the cheese part came in, was my first vision. I was really excited. I was like, wow, we could have a cheese case with 10 different kinds of cheese in it. And I thought that was pretty big,
10 different kinds of cheese.
And, now, depending on the season, during the holiday season, we probably have between 75 or 100 cheeses.
Yeah, I will say, you guys are my go-to place anytime we throw a dinner party. I'm like, I got to go get some salami, I got to go get some cheese, I need some almonds, I need jams. I mean, you're definitely my go-to place for planning.
For any parties.
Right.
A charcuterie plate.
Yeah.
We definitely...
I also went, not to change the subject, but my friend had a wedding party or a bridal party, and I was like, I don't want to get something off the register. I want to do something like different. And I went in and bought like the chalkboard plate and like a whole starter set for them to like start hosting their own, you know, charcuterie stuff. I got her the knife set, and like I bought her a couple cheeses that, you know, I had to refrigerate until. But she was like, we've used it so much. And so it was kind of like a cool little basket gift that I put together at your place. So
great. Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's a, I mean, you have all sorts of, I mean, you got the food, you got the cheese, you got the salami. I mean, pasta. I mean, you kind of have a little bit of everything in there going on. I'm trying to think of, you know, are you expanding anything else? Are you going to add anything else in the next? Or are you guys just kind of...
I mean, we're, you know, we're always looking for new products. So there's always some new cheese or, I mean, one of the great things about having a cheese shop in the Seattle, greater Seattle area is we have some of the best cheese importers in the country.
Yeah.
So I have a great source of finding really unique cheeses from all around the world. But then here in Washington, it seems, you know, every couple of months or so, a new cheesemaker might pop up. So that's always exciting, too, to be part of that. I think it just kind of follows that wine and beer trend that Washington is now pretty famous for around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of homemade, you know, right there, artisanal stuff is...
Farm
is
to
really
table,
popular,
hyper local.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. You find out that some of the cheeses that are made might be recipes that are maybe generations old from some of these family farms, and that the cheese has actually helped save some of these family farms because milk prices are so low that some of these dairy farmers were just really struggling. And talked to a couple. There was one up in Skagit Valley. I'm trying to remember the name of the company, but they kind of dug through some old family records, found some cheeses, started making cheese, selling it really at the farmstead, and then were able to expand a little bit and just enough cash flow to make sure that they could kind of keep things going. So it's really cool to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And keep other businesses, you know, alive kind of because of that. I mean, that's a huge, it's a huge deal, especially in this day and age where everything's so, you know, monopolized and big, you know.
Online accessible.
Yeah.
Right. So it's fun to find, and not only in cheese, but in some of the other jams and things like that, where we're finding some great local stuff off of Orcas Island or great local things that are made, you know, anywhere. I've got local honey from a guy that lives here in Edmonds, and he's got about 30 hives kind of scattered all around Edmonds for the most part. So he lives about two blocks from the house or from the shop.
Okay.
So I figured that's really hyper local.
Yeah.
That's about as local
support
as we can get.
You can't get any closer.
Yeah. Sort of having a beehive on the roof. Right. Yeah.
That's
and it's
cool.
Delicious and fun to support that.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I really like about Edmonds. And like I said, your place especially is you can find things that you don't find at your local grocery store. Like, you know, if you're looking for something different or kind of fun to spice up, you know, like I said, like if you're having people over or party or for a gift, it's, I just really appreciate that kind of thoughtfulness, I guess.
And I'm sure over time, so you started, how many years ago was it you started?
15, I think.
So 15 years ago, Edmonds was a lot different, right?
There wasn't. it was kind of.
We weren't. Yeah, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, was it kind of hard to start? I mean, obviously you had the best sandwiches around,
right?
But you know, I'm sure your business has probably changed over the years. You've probably been a lot busier the past couple of years.
Yeah, huh? It was pretty interesting when we first went into, you know, this kind of evolution. So we started Olives as pretty similar concept to what we have today, which was kind of mostly sandwiches. There it was primarily takeout. You know, we've got some seating now, but that retail. But then we moved into fine dining because my business partner, Michael, was and still is a super talented chef. And I remember when we made the switch to do kind of a tapas style, small plates, and we were going to stay open until 10 o'clock. And people were shocked. You're going to stay open until 10? But he said, you know, the sidewalks roll up in Edmonds by 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's like,
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's because everything's closed. Maybe if
there's
we
no
stay
reason.
Open,
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep the sidewalks open. And sure enough, I think we kind of hit we hit a market there where people just assumed everything closed early in Edmonds, and once we kind of went for it and said, yeah, let's stay open late. We think there are enough people downtown that want to find a place to eat, especially after the Edmonds Center for the Arts opened and mm-hmm. we get business after the movie let out. And now I kind of look at the restaurant scene in downtown Edmonds and feel kind of proud that I think we were a part of that to kind of get that going.
Definitely,
now
you guys were at the forefront
of
that.
Right? Yeah, you could get you could go to Olive's, you could go down to the AM/PM, and that was those were your late night options.
There wasn't much.
Late night by 10, right?
There wasn't a lot to do or go to. It was pretty sad before. Yeah. Or you could go into the biker bar, right? When Ingles used to be the biker bar.
Right.
Wasn't a lot back then. And there was no food there, I don't even think, at that point. But that's pretty funny that it's amazing how much Edmonds has changed over the past 15 years and how it's so much more just reinvigorated. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like there's been this turnover now over the past 10 years of, it's not just like small, quiet shops, which is kind of nice that there's a good mix of it now.
Right.
And helping the town.
Yeah. And then it's still pretty amazing that the number of businesses that are still, Housewares is still unexpanded. And I mean, Robert's an incredible businessman, but, Sound Styles and the Savvy Traveler and Arista Wine Cellars. And, there are just a whole bunch of businesses that were there when we moved in that mm-hmm. are still there and thriving. But I think that's a big part is that the new life that's come to Edmonds has really helped, those businesses stay alive and really start to thrive.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have that continuation and, bring new businesses into town, but still have, some of that old school, those familiar faces.
Definitely.
That you get to see.
Well, that's what's fun about coming to a small town is it's something you can't find necessarily where you're currently living. If you're day tripping from, Everett or Malling Terrace or down in Seattle or across the water, then you can come over and say, oh, what's this new store? What's this? And all of a sudden you've got this, and what we just got voted one of the most walkable communities I saw in an article. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, I think is true. And we're a dog-friendly community and baby-friendly community. And, I mean, it's nice that it's just accommodating to all lifestyles, I think. So,
yeah.
So I want to touch on your sandwiches because I think we've undershadowed the quality of that. I think we go once a week and get a sandwich. I mean, I'm a fan of definitely the turkey Reuben, the chicken with the pepper. I'm trying to remember the exact name. It's got like the roasted pepper on it. Anyway, and you get the Caprese one a lot. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we go in quite a bit, but I just want to touch on and make sure people know that the sandwiches are to die for. And if you can get in and soup specials every day, and you guys have a rotating special, is that kind of play it by ear, or do you guys?
It's pretty much play it by ear. My staff is so fantastic. I have a couple of graduates from Edmonds Community College culinary program,
and
they're just creative and fun. And so they, we might get a new cheese in, and so they might incorporate that into a sandwich I had one yesterday. They made one up. It had a goat brie, roasted red peppers, the garlic aioli, I don't know, a couple other delicious things. It was just fantastic.
It sounds good.
Way to go, Patrick. Thank you for doing that.
It's nice that you have people working there that you can kind of, they can do stuff like that, right? And it's nice.
Yeah.
It seems like you kind of give them a pretty open, place to do that and to kind of experiment, maybe. I mean, and try new things. And
I mean, I want to, to use their talents to their fullest degree. We try to keep, with the standards, we try to keep, pretty specific as to how things get put together, so we have that consistency, with our soup recipes and all of the homemade stuff that we do. But to have them just do a little riff on something, Mariah came up with our red pepper Gouda soup, which is probably my favorite special.
Yeah.
Patrick did this little twist on a banh mi sandwich a couple of times. It was just fantastic. So I always, you know, encourage people to, you know, find us on Facebook, because that's where they're always posting the sandwich special. And actually, that's why I went in yesterday, because I looked at Facebook about, you know, 10:30 or 11. I said, wow, that looks like a really good sandwich at this local restaurant. I think I'll go try it.
That is a good place. Facebook helps you get to everyone and show all the specials. And I saw on your Facebook your when you guys did the Parmesan raclette cutting.
I was going to say the raclette, too.
Right.
How did that go? Was it successful? Have you sold all the Parmesan?
We sold all the Parmesan.
There was a lot of Parmesan.
It's an 80-pound wheel. And it was funny. Again, you know, we have these great cheese importers, so... Peterson's Foods, unfortunately no relation. They have a cheese truck that shows up every month or so, you know, with just these really exquisite cheeses on the back of this big refrigerated truck. So I was talking to the driver, the salesperson, Izzy. I was telling her, I said, you know, one of my goals has always been to buy a full wheel of Parmesan and do a big cheese cracking. But a full wheel of Parmesan, you know, 80 pounds of cheese, it's pretty serious investment.
Yeah.
And so I've always been wary of doing that, because I can buy a half wheel or a quarter wheel or an eighth wheel. She called me up a few days later. Actually, she sent me an email, and I was traveling in Spain, of all places. And she said, so I have this crazy opportunity. One of our importers had sent them a wheel of Parmesan, and for some reason they didn't think it was up to their quality. It had like a small crack in the rind or something. Mm-hmm. And she said, so they're willing to give it away to somebody if they do a parm cracking event and take a lot of pictures and promote it. Are you in? Yes, I'm in.
Yes.
So it gave me a good excuse to buy this big set of knives specifically for cracking Parmesan. You know, so that was always fun to, you know, to get a new.
Was it everything you expected?
It was. It was even more. I couldn't believe how delicious the cheese was when we first cracked open that wheel.
I'm sure.
It was just this huge aroma, and, you know, the cheese just kind of, all the oils and, you know, the good butter fat that's in the cheese is nice and just open and loose, because the cheese, you know, it's been sitting out at room temperature for a while, and just... it was fantastic. Wow. So we had Roger from Arista Wines come down, and he poured some Prosecco, and we just kind of made a party out of the whole thing. And
yeah, it looked like a good time.
Packed the place and sold a lot of cheese.
And finally, I went in there like the day after and looking at all the cheese. I was like, wow, that's a lot of cheese here.
You kind of roll the wheel of cheese around. You know, it's a big wheel of cheese.
That was pretty cool. That was really cool.
And you guys also... serve alcohol, and so do you guys get it mostly local? Also, I know you guys do local breweries, it looks like.
Yeah, so we have four beers on tap that we kind of keep really hyper local. We'll usually have in kind of rotating, we'll have some beers from Salish and American Brewing, something that might be brewed down at Gallagher's, maybe once in a while something from, you know, we'll expand to, you know, Mukilteo or Ballard or something like that.
Yeah.
And bring in some other beers. And then a pretty nice, simple wine selection. We have a couple of nice French wines by the glass and some Spanish. And so that one, we're not quite as hyper-local. We just...
those tend to pair better with...
Yeah, I think, kind of like the old world wines a little bit. And we really rely on a couple of our wine sales reps to find some interesting new things and bring those in and rotate those through, so...
Did you always have the truffle popcorn?
Yeah, that we did.
That
was
start?
Kind of an, I don't know, that was an early vision. We were trying to figure out, you know, what kind of sides you put with a sandwich. Should we, you know, Maria, my wife, always wanted a big barrel of pickles, which I'm not against, but it's a big barrel of pickles. So she's from the East Coast, so that's kind of one of those things. But we were trying to come up with something unique and maybe just a little bit healthier than a bag of potato chips or something like that. And so came up with this idea of doing popcorn and adding a little bit of truffle oil and truffle salt to it. So we go, we air pop it every day. So it's, you know, it's not overly laden with oils, and it's nice and light. And then just a little dash of truffle oil and some truffle salt. And
it's delicious.
Yeah, I still love it. I think it's every... And there are a handful different. Of people that just, their truffles aren't their thing. But I think we're probably up 90-10, where 90% of the people are appreciative and 10 are like, eh, I could live without the truffle popcorn. But
luckily it's not overpowering.
Right,
it's
yeah,
not
we try like to a keep crazy, it mellow. Yeah.
Like you're just pouring a ton of truffle oil all over it, right? So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
So you lived here in Edmonds before you opened, so but you always knew you wanted to be in Edmonds for business owning once you moved here?
Yes. Yeah, that sense of when we first were looking for a house, our realtor, you know, this was just as kind of internet, you would find a real estate agent on the internet, you know, maybe this was the first one. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
He's pioneer.
She drove us all around Puget Sound. We didn't know where we wanted to move. My wife got transferred to an office in Bothell, but we knew we wanted to be close to the water. So we looked literally everywhere from Seattle to Everett, and we came over that Main Street hill when there was a little townhouse for sale in Edmonds, and it was, you know, there's Puget Sound, the ferry's coming by.
Iconic.
That whole view, and then she dropped us off downtown. We looked at one condo. She was going to run back to the office. She said, we'll have lunch and wander around. And sure enough, we went into the Edmonds Bookshop, which, of course, is still there.
Yep.
Arista Wine Cellars, which was then on the corner. Walked down to Rory's, had a burger for lunch. And we're like, huh, yeah, this place might be okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's really an just, Edmonds.
Yeah, all those things you can still do, right?
Yeah.
And we do on occasion. We just we had a cousin in town the other day, and we probably did all of those things.
Yeah.
I think you know
like,
a couple
I
of
know
Saturdays
a good place
ago.
Right around the corner. Yeah.
So yeah, just that sense, and you walk into those businesses, and they're owned by people that are local, and they're just welcoming and nice, and you know,
you get
help
to
you.
Know them the more you go in, and
yep.
It's like Cheers. The whole town is like
the
giant,
whole town is like that.
Giant Cheers bar.
Well, it's so yeah, and Edmonds really—it's so interesting that you know I meet so many people from Seattle and from out of town all the time, and everyone finds Edmonds, and people either didn't know about Edmonds, even if they lived in the area their whole lives. You know, it's like it's like the only town that's like a true small town. I feel like you know that has the downtown core, and then. You know, there's nothing between here and really...
I think we should say that hasn't been...
Well, I mean, that small town feel, like you have to go to Snohomish to get that,
yeah,
you know, that downtown right. feel, or you have to go up to like Laconia or something.
Just the sudden growth of real estate has changed a lot of the previous small towns.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place to be. I mean, I've grown up here my whole life, so I guess I'm kind of biased about it.
Right?
But... yeah. And so, and you do a ton of traveling, it sounds like, you know, or a little bit of traveling. Do you just always looking for new cheeses that you do?
That's
a lot
always
of that?
Part of the excuse. We still haven't really had the shop pay for a trip yet. And it's like, that's really, you know, why aren't we doing that? But yeah, when we went to Spain last year, just my goal was to have jamón ibérico every day. And I surpassed that goal by having it at least, you know, maybe more than once a day. And just, yeah, discovering these new things. So that's still kind of our determination is maybe we'll set up a trip to the Pyrenees or some, do a cheese tour. Ruth and David Arista have done these fabulous wine tours around the world. And so we're like,
The cheese tour.
We know some travel people that could help us put together some
Yeah.
Turns out there's a couple people in town.
There are a couple of travel people in town that might be able to help us out.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool, like a cheese adventure to go around and see everything. And you were just saying earlier that tell us about your recent trip that you just took.
Yeah, so my sideline when I'm not at the shop, I'm a state legislator representing Edmonds and Mukilteo, and had this crazy opportunity as part of a state delegation to go to India to ask the Dalai Lama to come back to Seattle. He was here about 10 years ago and did this big kind of three-day event. And so about 12 of us, and I think five of us were actually from Edmonds,
really?
Out of this group, actually had an audience with His Holiness and sat with him for over an hour, had tea.
Wow.
When they came out and started serving tea, I just about hyperventilated. But I was sitting right next to him. I was there with a state senator from Orcas Island, and then this group of amazing volunteers and people that are, you know, doing work with at-risk kids and homelessness and education and medicine. All of these incredible people, and so we just sat there and had this remarkable conversation with one of the most holy people in the world.
Yeah.
And he is, it's as overwhelming as you think, but then as easygoing. He's just funny. He laughs at his own jokes, and he's got this great laugh. He likes to, like, make the exclamation point with a joke sometimes by sticking his tongue out at you. So he made this joke and looked right at me and stuck his tongue out, and I just, like, the dog just stuck his tongue out.
Okay.
I mean, this is great. But really interesting. I mean, we talked about, like we were talking about earlier before we started this, about, you know, compassion and those things that you kind of expect to hear from the Dalai Lama, and that was a big part of it. But also really the political situation in Tibet. Mm-hmm. We found out that there's, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's one of the kind of indexes that's used by the UN and organizations around the world to measure freedom. And on the worst places in the world when it comes to freedom, whether it's political freedom, freedom of the press, things like that, the worst place in the world, to nobody's surprise, is Syria. Number mm-hmm. two is Tibet.
Wow.
So it's worse, according to this charting, than North Korea or
wow.
South
crazy.
Sudan. Yeah, so the...
You wouldn't think that, too. I mean...
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's so... The press is so controlled in mm-hmm. Tibet that we never hear about these wow. these issues. So that was really eye-opening. So we're going to try to... Well, with things like this and just meeting with people, is try to talk to people about what's happening in Tibet. Well, I think you probably remember, you know,
yeah.
five
yeah.
or 10 years ago, the big Free Tibet yeah. movement was mm-hmm. big. You know, mm-hmm. you'd had bumper stickers, and that's just kind of moved off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to kind of reignite that discussion.
Yeah.
Just bring awareness. And, right. and unfortunately, there's so many situations in the world right now that are really unfortunate, and, you know, a lot of communities and going through really hard times, whether it be military or, you know, coups or war and famine. And so I think it's with our technology and social media, it's easy to focus on like what's happening that minute, that hour, and then things that maybe aren't so televised or, you know, present in the media because it's fell by the wayside from other things like Syria or North Korea. So yeah, it's good to not lose focus of those things.
Right.
Yeah, especially because I feel like every time you ever see anything about Tibet, it's like just this peaceful place with, you know, that's what, you know, it's always played out in like TV shows. People go to find themselves in Tibet, you
right.
know, and it's not.
And the Tibetan people, for all that they've gone through, are the most optimistic and caring people that, and everybody on the trip agreed that it's just remarkable.
Yeah,
I think we got to actually meet with so there's a government in exile in Dharamsala, India. So we got to meet with the president, and this one of his quotes was that in Tibet we think today is bad, tomorrow will be worse, the day after that will be even worse, but the day after that will be better. So they wow. have this kind of very interesting pessimism/optimism.
Bad, yeah. bad, and, bad, good.
But it's the things that they, you know, the arc of history, you know, tilts towards justice. And so, and their sense of history is long. They've been around
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we kind of think, you know, here in the United States that, you know, we're just over 200 years old and we're kind of like a petulant child. Maybe like a 2.5-year-old having a tantrum.
Yeah,
just like, yeah.
yeah.
Our toddler.
Just like our son. Yeah.
Sometimes,
and that's how we act in the world. And so one of the things that the Dalai Lama said is that really stressed, he said, you are the leaders of the free world, and we implore you to step up and mm-hmm. be the leaders of the free world and expose these things, and not only in Tibet, but really around the world, and to really use our position as, you know, with the freedoms that we have and the opportunities to really engage the world in this kind of compassionate dialogue. And that's where we went back to some of the ideas about about compassion, and that's really how you conquer these kind of horrible, absolutely, whether it's Syria or Tibet, or that you have to do it through this core sense of compassion for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, yeah, I was so, I'm still processing all of this.
Yeah,
it was,
you know, sure,
pretty overwhelming.
Still muddling things over and figuring out next steps, or?
Yes, yeah. So we're hoping, so we asked His Holiness if he would return to Seattle, and he's 83. His travel schedule is diminished.
Yeah.
Still does some, so we're not giving up hope for an in-person meeting, but he did, you know, the guy's sharp. He knows what's going on in the world. So he started talking about social media. Mm-hmm. So, well, maybe we could do something with technology, you know, where basically Skype him in for a big conference.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities with technology.
Yeah, you don't have to be in person to, you know,
right,
still feel that effect. You can definitely achieve it other ways.
Yeah, so we have some options. There's quite a Tibetan community here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister lives around the corner from a temple or whatever.
Yeah, so we're really, they were a big part of this delegation. Mm-hmm. They really kind of helped put this together, you know, one gentleman in particular. So that's really going to be kind of our leverage point, is how do we really get the Tibetan community locally involved, so they can really let us know what their needs are, but then use the resources that we have and all of these different groups that came together to kind of spread that message, both the political side, but really that need for compassion in everything that we do, you know, here at home, you know, in our community here in Edmonds, dealing with, you know, the issues that we have, you know, increased homelessness and people just struggling with whatever it is, you know, to some of the broader issues, you know, statewide and then obviously nationally and worldwide.
Trickle-down effect.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's still overwhelming.
Did you say anything about cheese to him?
I didn't.
I'm offering you cheese.
I could have brought
it's
some
from
cheese
my Parmesan
to
wheel.
Right.
I cracked this with my own hands.
Next time.
Next time.
I'll bring him some cheese.
I am the cheese monk.
And one of the gifts that one of our delegation brought was some Theo chocolate from Seattle.
Nice. Oh.
And he looked at it, he's like, I love chocolate. That's great. It was, you know, he's that down to earth. You know, when we presented him some different gifts, he looked at each one, and I couldn't imagine how many gifts he gets.
Mm-hmm.
But he paused, looked at each one, asked about it, listen to what they were presenting, and so there was this just incredible sincerity that he had, and we know that he just had meetings kind of one after another during the day.
I suppose you kind of have to have pretty good amount of sincerity in your soul for stuff if you're going to be a Dalai Lama, though.
Right, when you're the 14th reincarnation of the Buddha, I guess that's kind of one of the prerequisites.
It must be.
Fun of the time to remember, you know, oh, right, this is the... Yeah, he's the 14th reincarnation of the Buddha. Okay, this is...
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. So any... I guess we kind of get towards the end of it. Any funny stories or anything you have about the cheesemonger's table or anything that's happened to you guys or a Yelp review that's been hilarious? Or...
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. I think one... And I don't think... Can't remember if this was an email or if it was actually a Yelp review. I think it was an email. We had been open just for a few months, you know, and we cook everything in house for the most part, and we have that open concept kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all out there.
You know, and you walk into the shop, and if we're cooking onions, then you know we're cooking onions.
Yep.
And so we go through a lot of caramelized onions.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so we got this note from this woman who had had lunch, and she said, my clothes smell like food smells, and I think you need to pay for my dry cleaning.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I just read that. What? Food smells? So now that's kind of a standing
like
joke that I'll come home from work, and Maria will say, you smell like food smells.
You guys should put a little a sign up on the counter as a warning.
We won't be held responsible for food smells. Yeah,
responsible for any food smells
or high smelling area. Right. Be warned or something like that.
So that was definitely one of the most unique bits of feedback we got.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a ton of interesting feedback too. But that's pretty funny. You guys should put a little sign up there. Beware of food smells.
Smell zone. Food smell zone or something.
So far, the only complaint like that. Yeah. The only request for dry cleaning was...
I was going to say, I go in and I just get hungry.
We don't play fair. We're cooking bacon or onions or something like that. So
I know. Or opening up some new salami or something. Yeah. I always feel like you can smell that when you open up and take off the packaging. Mm-hmm. It always smells so good in there. I'm not a big fan of the blue cheeses, though, so I try to stay away from those.
Keep you healthy.
I can't do it. It's too much cheese for me. I like cheese, but I'm a novice to cheese, and I'm very into the mozzarellas, parmesans, burratas.
I'll dive right into anything.
Yeah, she's...
We can turn you to the dark side.
Yeah, I know. The blue side.
The blue side.
I'm working my way over there. I'm going slowly.
Maybe you guys should start a club, blue cheese novice in training or something.
Do you guys ever have like any cheese classes or do you guys ever do anything like that? Or
we have done that in the past, and that's something that we're looking at again. We've done a lot of fun stuff again with Aristas where they'll do five different Italian wines. And a lot of times when Roger puts those classes together, we'll supply the cheese. Mm-hmm. He'll come up with a list of cheeses that he's hoping to find, and we'll scatter around with our different purveyors and find some pretty unique stuff. But we're looking at starting to do some more stuff in our shop as well as in Aristas and just kind of go back and forth.
Any upcoming events you want to promote or specials or...
come on in. I think, I never know what next special they're going to come up with, which is great for me.
Yeah, you're like a patron.
Find it out on Facebook.
Just to see their creativity. And
what's your website or where can people find you? I guess we should probably say where you're located.
So on Fifth Avenue, so it's 203 Fifth Avenue South, so Fifth and Maple. By the Hazel Miller Plaza, within there, which is such a fabulous addition to the town. One of the things that's coming up, we'll have the summer series of the concerts in the park.
That's right.
So I think it's
June.
Yep, starting in June, I think Tuesday afternoons are where they do a lot of things, especially for kids. They'll have jugglers and, different fun things, storytellers for kids. And then Thursday evenings, they have a pretty eclectic series of music, everything from, jazz and reggae to, we had some kind of Spanish folk music last year, but some really, really great stuff. So that's coming up, and that's done through the Edmonds Parks and Rec Department, which is super cool. And then, the website is cheesemongerstable.com, and then you can find us on Facebook at Cheesemongers Table.
And you guys have outdoor seating. Summer is upon us, so can get a sandwich and eat outside in the sun and
grab
in the plaza.
On the plaza, grab something to go down to the beach, or we have indoor seatings for lovely days like today when it might not be.
Yeah,
it's so wonderful to sit
so
outside.
So perfect to sit outside.
And a couple other things just to kind of highlight your menu, but you guys do a nice couple of different charcuterie cheese boards. You have the epic mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese, we use locally made pasta, this bronze cut pasta out of Seattle that's just fantastic. Make our own cheese sauce. We have cheese boards that we rotate the cheeses at least every week. So there's always something new to find. And then we also carry the salumi meats. We're pretty fortunate to do that there. And I think we might be the only place in Snohomish County.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it anywhere else. It's Very lucky that we live so close.
Yeah. So the mole salami from them is one of the most amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't go wrong with any of their salamis.
Right? You know, and you know, we just encourage people to come in and try anything that they want to try in the case. We're more than happy to cut a sample or give a taste because we don't want you to walk out of the store with something that you're...
Regrets.
Right. It's hard to have regrets, but there are a few to kind of riff on old Frank Sinatra or something like that.
Okay, well, perfect. Anything else from you?
I don't think so.
I'm good. Thanks for showing up today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for doing this.
We really appreciate it. And
go get a sandwich, go get some cheese.
Yeah, want some great food, go to Cheesemonger's table. I know, I'm ready for lunch now. Too bad I'm on a diet. I can't eat so much cheese. All right, well, thanks everyone for listening. We will see you next week.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.